Welcome back. Hour three. We're going to talk a little soccer. So for those of you who can't stand it, hold your nose. For those of you who want to be enlightened, open your ears and listen up. Back by popular demand, our World Cup correspondent and the host of Steve Gorman Sports on Fox Sports Radio. Oh, and he's also the drummer of the Black Crowes. Talking about the beautiful game, it's the beautiful mind. Steve Gorman, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, Steve. How are you?
I am well, thank you very much. How's it going over there?
Very good, and I appreciate you. Now that you're a big-time national syndicated sports talk host, I appreciate you squeezing small markets like Little Rock into your schedule.
I'm a big fan of Little Rock, and anytime someone says, hey, let's talk soccer, I pretty much jump at the chance, so thank you.
Well, I appreciate it, and I knew nothing last time I had you on. I know slightly more than nothing now that we're having you back on. You were a big fan of the Orange, I believe. Was it last time around? Was that your team?
Always a fan of the Dutch. Are my second favorite team. I go USA first, which is a nice thing. That's a recent transition in the last 20 years or so. But Dutch number two now. USA is my top dog. And as we're bringing the best team we've ever had to the World Cup, I think we're going to do okay this time.
You think the United States has the best team they've ever had at the World Cup?
I don't think there's any question about that.
Okay. Yet, they are an underdog to a third world country today. Can you explain to me how this comes about for those of us who are totally ignorant about national soccer, like the building the U.S. team?
Well, I mean, you know, if you live in the United States, as all of us on this call do, we grow up with a plethora of sports choices. And in a place like Nashville, where I live, or Little Rock, where you are, soccer is not the number one pick for most kids. At least not for most parents when they're putting their kids in sports. While a lot of children play it, it's not the sport that elicits the most passion. Mm-hmm. There are kids who play and they become good and they move up to the national ranks. But it's only been very recently that that we have top tier athletes competing in soccer their whole lives. Whereas in Ghana, a country like Ghana, it's really one sport. Soccer is the only thing every one of those kids is playing. And in other parts of the world, I mean, if you take all of the sports passion that this country shares and put it all on just one sport, that's the only way to kind of really approximate what it's like, what the passion is and what the intensity with that game is in the rest of the world.
So given the fact that I don't see America turning their passion towards soccer, and like you made the comment of how the athletically we're there. I think I read somewhere that this is our most athletic team, at least in terms of speed. So do you
see? There's guys on this team who would have been great at whatever sport. Like you're taking top tier athletes at the age of 9 and 10, and now they're starting to choose soccer. You know, we're going back 10, 15, 20 years. Kids in the, you know, when the World Cup was here 20 years ago, there's a whole lot of little kids that saw it and said, that's my sport. Mm. And now those guys are 25 to 35, and they're at the peak of their careers, and we've got some really good, you know, we've got players who do well in international leagues, you know, during the regular season, and they are top-flight athletes, and the system's in place to give them the support they need. And we've got a tremendous coach, you know, and it's built grassroots. I mean, the U.S. sold four times as many tickets as any other country to the World Cup.
Wow, that is impressive.
I think that has a lot to do with the fact that it's in Rio. If it was in some other places, maybe we wouldn't be quite as excited, but that is a...
Well, we're not playing in Rio. We're in a bunch of other cities, actually.
Okay.
So, yeah. You know, and Brazil's as big as the U.S., so it's like, you know, it's not all Rio.
Okay.
You know, it's a lot of other types of places.
Well, hopefully they play well enough to get to Rio, but we'll see how that goes. What do you make of the matchup with Ghana, then? If you look at it from an athletic and a competitive standpoint, how do you break this one down?
I think the U.S. is going to win today. I think it's a great... Ghana's younger and... younger than they've been, and they haven't done anything in qualifying that really made me think too highly of them. The group they're playing right now, Germany's up 3-0. Portugal, they're just a bunch of head cases. So that's a team that we can probably play with. But to think that we have a great chance of beating Germany is kind of unrealistic. We can play with them. We can certainly hopefully get a draw. But all that to say, Ghana's the best chance to get 3 points for a win. And I think I like the way Klinsmann, the coach of the U.S. team, has them prepared mentally. I mean, there's three build-up games last month. They got better each time, and the lineup against Nigeria 2 weeks ago was great. I think it's a win for the U.S. today.
Steve Gorman joining us. Steve Gorman Sports and our go-to guy for World Cup soccer. A lot of pressure. So you have to know all these things because we know nothing, basically.
Actually, that's where you're wrong. There's no pressure because you don't know if I'm making all
point.
This up or not.
Good point. That's a good point. The only thing I know is we're playing Ghana. It's at 5 o'clock, and Pat's got a remote at Stickies today, so it'll be fun. Which is
going to pack the place.
It'll be lots of fun today. So I will say this. Arkansans, although they don't necessarily, and I'm sure you get the same thing over in Tennessee, it's not necessarily the first choice. People do pay attention. In the same way we don't pay attention to curling, except every 4 years, we do pay attention to soccer as a nation.
Well, you know, it's the national team. The MLS, if you don't live in a city with an MLS team, you're not paying much attention. But the national team always has this. I mean, in Nashville today, there's a dozen bars that are already, they're already packed. You can't get a seat for a 5 o'clock game.
That's awesome.
You know, it's definitely something that's just built and built slowly.
What's the demographic of...
You know, soccer's the most played youth sport in America and has been for several decades. It's just never translated past 12 years old. But now you've got third generation, you know, like kids who played soccer. And, you know, you got a 10-year-old kid right now whose dad is 40 and whose granddad is 65, and the granddad could have played. You know, it's a very different thing than when I was a kid.
It is strange that... when you look at how this country was built, that soccer would not be more popular going back generations, generations. I mean, it's made up of a bunch of European immigrants.
The melting pot is made up of a lot of people who love soccer.
That's it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But maybe that's just the reason why.
You know, the U.S. did send teams in the 30s to the World Cup, and they did pretty well. Hmm. And it was because they were all immigrants who were playing for the U.S. It's just, you know, we just had our own. You know, back, you know, in the old days, let's not kid ourselves, oceans, they got in the way of a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yes, it was very problematic.
Steve, let me ask you this about the U.S.'s coach, and he came out and made that statement about he didn't think that they had a chance to win, which a lot of people didn't like him to even think that way. What were your thoughts on that?
It didn't bother me in the least. I mean, the thing about Jurgen Klinsmann, he's hyper-competitive. He's came in, he wants to coach a team to be competitive at the highest level, and he's looking at it from a, this is a guy who won a World Cup as a player and who came in third in 2006 as a coach with a really young German team. He understands a lot more about, more than even the guys on your team, he understands what to play at the World Cup, the pressures teams face, the expectations. There's a lot of things that this guy understands, like anybody who's played and coached at the top levels would. And he has a different mindset than the American mindset. I mean, it's just, for him to say it's not realistic to expect to win, he's not saying he doesn't think they'll get out of the group, and every game he gets, he's going to go in there and prepare his team and absolutely win. He doesn't think there's anybody we should be intimidated by, but he also understands that to win the World Cup, you have to play 7 games, and for the U.S., they would have to be almost flawless. That's just a realistic statement. I mean, he's like, the goal for any World Cup team, anybody other than Brazil, really, goes into the World Cup every year with their focus being just get out of my group. Get to the you know, elimination round, and then anything can happen. If you're Brazil, you go in thinking we got to win the whole thing.
Right.
Anybody else really approaches it like, let's just win our group and then see where we are. And that's what he's basically saying. Let's just beat Ghana. Let's see what we can do against Portugal. Let's see what we can do against Germany. And if at the end of that we're one of the top two teams, well then yeah, we'll go on the field and we'll take on all comers. But he's just not prone to hyperbole. It's a very German way of thinking.
Yeah, that being said, why didn't Eric Spoelstra come out last night and say we have no chance of winning?
Well, because it was too obvious.
Yeah.
Because all he would have heard from the collective media was, yeah, no kidding. Hmm.
To say that, you know, you can certainly make an argument either way about the Spurs winning, but I don't think anybody necessarily expected them to be dominated. Maybe you did. I don't know. I didn't. What was your take on your takeaways from especially the last 3 games of the series?
Oh, I did call the Spurs. I said it would go. I said 7, the first thing I said was Spurs and 6, and then I chickened out and put 7. So I guess I got to live by that one.
That's okay.
But I just thought, like, throughout the playoffs, I don't know. There's something about. I mean, I'm a big Spurs guy. I'm not like a fan. Like, that's my team. But I just love watching them play, and I have so much respect for them. And I did think last season, it was more of an, I always said it was kind of, when they lost that game 6 last year and then 7, that just seemed like an anomaly. I thought through that series last year the Spurs were going to take them. So once they, you know, by the time they were cruising towards 60 wins this year in the regular season, it was kind of like, okay, they didn't, that loss last year did not hurt them. It just emboldened them even more. And especially, you know, the first round against Dallas was weird, but since then, watching that bench come in and, like, you know, when you got a guy like Patty Mills playing like that, and then Boris Diaw's turned into what Boris, you know, all of a sudden he's an all-pro, and just everything about the depth of that team, it's like Popovich has just been in a laboratory for a decade, and he finally got the perfect mix of everything. You know, it's you can't expect another team to look at the Spurs and say, okay, let's play like that. I mean, what you saw from that team is a solid decade of tinkering and working. And getting and you know, bringing in parts and then getting rid of parts if they didn't fit. I mean, that really is a long-term building project. And I think this year's Spurs team is worthy of all the talk about where they fit all time. Because, you know, I'm not going to say they're the 96 Bulls, but I'd love to see the 96 Bulls try to defend that.
Yeah, well, you look at five championships in 15 years. I mean, it's just silly what they've been able to do. So. Steve Gorman.
Pretty incredible.
It is. Steve Gorman, Steve Gorman Sports joining us. Steve also based his 2-on-2 basketball career on ball movement, so I know you have a special appreciation for the way they play, for sure.
Oh, without question. Without question.
So,
yeah, my 2-on-2 career, short-lived, unfortunately.
Yes, but you got to play some high-profile people over the years, which is good. So, the United States, if they get by Ghana, what do you think it takes for them in the final two games in group play to get out?
They can beat Portugal. I don't think there's any. Portugal's got the best player in the world. But if you're watching them right now, just unwind against Germany, they're totally undisciplined and they're emotional. And, you know, one of their team leaders already got a red card for headbutting a German when he was down. I mean, they're just nuts. They're Portuguese. And, you know, God love them. They got to contain a little bit of that emotion sometimes.
Yes, you know where the man of war hails from.
Absolutely.
He's Portuguese.
Absolutely. So, and I just don't, you know, I think if you... You know, if you can limit, if you can hold, if you can keep Ronaldo off the ball, then you're going to beat Portugal. And if you can score early against Portugal, you're going to beat Portugal. So the U.S. has a good chance. I'm not about to say the U.S. is going to beat Germany, but we can stay in a game with Germany. I mean, look, if Germany can get two more goals and give a 5-goal differential after the first round, and we can beat Ghana and just draw with Portugal, then we're through. So, you know, I say go Germany today. Let's score a few more. And then make sure we beat Ghana. If we beat Ghana, I think we're in a good position.
All right. I like that. I have a theory now, guys, I was working on. Since we can't get people more passionate, we can't get the top-flight athletes, at least not enough of them, to play soccer, maybe we should try to poison the rest of the world by indoctrinating them with football, our brand of football, or some other sports to distract some of their other athletes so we can sort of get them off kilter and maybe try to take a few of their studs out of soccer. What do you think?
Just, you know, I like the theory, but if you spend time in Europe or in South America and then you start look, you'll pick up a book and you'll see a match from 1926 and there's 120,000 people there, you go, oh yeah, they do have a real big head start. It's not going away anytime soon.
Okay, what about your second favorite team's chances? How do you feel about the Dutch this year?
I feel great after watching them destroy Spain the other day. That was a nice, you know, the rematch of the final from 2010. They beat Spain 5-1 a couple days ago, which was a very nice surprise. But they've always let me down in the past too, because as much as they're talented, they've also been a little undisciplined in their way. So it was great to see them put together that kind of game.
You got a flyer
but
for us?
I think right now I would if I had to pick a team to win it. It's really rare. You don't ever expect to see a European team win a World Cup in South America, but I think Germany's really the odds-on. Favorite outside of Brazil.
Okay, I'll go with that. What's going on musically? You guys playing at all? You got any plans? What's the story?
Now, the Black Crowes are done for the time being. I mean, we were out all last year.
Right.
I have a band called Trigger Hippie that we're putting a record out in September. We're actually starting to play some shows in July. And when Trigger Hippie goes on the road, then Steve Gorman Sports goes on the road with it. So we'll be on the road a good bit of the fall. And then setting up to do an awful lot of touring next year as well. Looking very forward to that. That's been a few years in the making.
What's a brother got to do to get a Little Rock show?
I don't imagine that's going to be too difficult. We're lining up later in the fall a bunch of Southern dates right now. So, I've played Little Rock a million times.
Yeah,
I love Little Rock.
That'd be good. We need to get you at the Reverend.
Get a million and one. Steve, have you ever? Are you making plans to go to a World Cup anytime in the near future?
I'm not going to Russia in 4 years, and I'm definitely not going to Qatar or Qatar, or however you say it, in 2022. Although the way that World Cup's going, and with all the charges of corruption and bribery and everything that led to that country being designated World Cup host. There's a lot of people talking about getting trying to get it moved away and bring the 2022 World Cup to the U.S. because we have, you know, we have the infrastructure to just do something like that. We've already got the stadiums. We've already got the mass transit we need. I mean, we can make it happen a lot easier than just about anywhere else in the world.
Well,
so if that happens, I'll be taking that summer off. Believe me, I'll be at every game I can get to.
Yeah, infrastructure should not be a hindrance because you look at what Brazil is doing for the Olympics, and I mean, they're building a freaking golf course, for goodness sakes. There shouldn't be golf in the Olympics, but that's another argument. They are building a course, so they don't even have a course that's ready for it. It's hilarious. So,
Steve, the other thing about the U.S. soccer team was Landon Donovan being kept off. Did you have?
Yeah, I was fine with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think just because I trust Klinsmann, and I think that, you know, my theory is Donovan casts such a huge shadow as far as a team leader, and Klinsmann wanted to bring up a bunch of younger players, and if you remove Donovan, it sort of puts the impetus on everybody to step up.
Sure.
And I think there's less chance that people sort of look to him to say, you know, you lead us, you're Landon Donovan. I think the message is more, it's everybody's turn, you know, and let's just get on with it. I mean, he had 3 World Cups. He did his time. He's fine.
Enough already. Yes, exactly. I saw a quote from The Onion today. Bribery suspected after 2022 World Cup moved to Richard Branson's backyard. So,
yeah.
We got a chance to see him one day. It was very, very hilarious. He was walking through. We were doing a show before the Cotton Bowl a couple of years ago when Arkansas played Kansas State, and he was doing like a speaking engagement at the hotel we were at. And we're like, oh, my God, that's Richard Branson with his big speaker. And, of course, he hears us walking by, and like one of his assistants pulls on his coat, and he looks at us and gives us the wave like, hello, idiots, and then he just kept on walking.
Yeah.
Yes. I've been blown off by Richard Branson. What do you got to offer? I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah, something tells me he's pretty good at that by now.
Yeah, I'm going to guess so.
The hello idiot wave. That's pretty much everybody gets from him, I imagine.
Yeah, and we get that from all kinds of people, so it was good to get it from
somebody.
Oh,
One last thing, because I need to know who to root for. So coming out of this World Cup, the stars of the USA team that we can look forward to watching for years to come will be who?
Well, the Michael Bradley, he's the midfielder, the bald guy. He's the best. That's your guy right there. He plays in the MLS for the Toronto club, FC Toronto. He's outstanding. Clint Dempsey is up in Seattle. He's great. But, you know, we have the best. Tim Howard is one of the best goalkeepers in the world. I mean, in any conversation around the world, he's thought of as a top 5 keeper. So those are the guys. Those are the guys who are already, like, at playing in top-level, you know, soccer around the world and have been for years.
Okay, so we have to pray for a low-scoring game.
We got the one, you know, it's funny because it's like the U.S. did develop a bunch of good goalkeepers early on, which is a good strategy when the rest of your guys are getting run around, you know, like they're getting boat raced on the ball.
It's America, Steve. We like to play with our hands. You know how that goes.
That's a fact.
So, of course, there are goalkeepers galore, I would think. But anyway, you can only have one on the field at a time. That's unfortunate. Man, we appreciate the time. Congrats on the show and your success, and look forward to hearing more from Trigger Hippie here soon.
It will be soon. Thank you, brothers. Take care. Enjoy the World Cup, gentlemen.
We're going to. Yeah. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. We'll catch up again here as we get a little further into play, maybe.
Anytime.
All right, good deal. Thanks, Steve.
Cheers.
All right, Steve Gorman. Steve Gorman Sports and Trigger Hippie.
He sounds very upbeat about the future of USA Soccer.
I am.